And if you would, find your worship bulletin and turn to your gospel reading from Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we're going to take a look at some very interesting things that when I looked them up, it's very interesting. Verse 6 of chapter 6 says, "And he marveled because of their unbelief." And so this morning we're taking a look at one thing. We're focusing on that one thing this summer, and we're going from there. And so let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we ask you to be in this, the study of what you have written. Lord God, help us understand that, Lord God, these are words that you wrote for us even here today. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. And so when you take a look at this, I'm really looking at it because in verse 6, it says that he marveled at their unbelief. And so I'm really beginning to wonder what it is that we could really study this morning from this. Because verse 5, isn't verse 5 the lead into this? Isn't verse 5 the lead in? The problem is this. There are four Gospels. Matthew, Mark. It's been a while since confirmation, isn't it? Yeah, I know, when we had to memorize that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John is not something that goes in order. That means he floats from here to here to here to here to here to here and has all these weird thoughts. Matthew, Mark, and Luke go, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. All right? And so, interesting enough, is Mark is the first gospel written. He's the first gospel written. And when he writes, this happened, let's go on to this one. And he doesn't really expound about what happened between the lines, or he doesn't fill in the gaps. He just says, this happened and this happened. And his goal is to get to the cross. And so he does it faster than Matthew and Luke. And so interesting enough is that we look at verse 5, and you start to wonder what in the world is going on. Verse 5 says this, "And he could do no mighty work there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." And you start to wonder what is going on in this verse, where we take a look at who Jesus is, and we're supposed to be asking the question, Lord, this doesn't make sense for you. Jesus, you the most all-powerful, all-knowing, you know what needs to take place. And at the same time, this is something I'm just marveling at right now because I don't know the answer. And the problem is we don't have enough information because when we take this at face value, it looks like Jesus is going around and says, well, I can't do this, I can't do this. Begin to wonder, well, is that what the Lord does in my life? Is that he looks at situations and says, well, can't help you there. Well, can't help you there. And begin to wonder, okay, where is Jesus in the hard times? Where is Jesus when we really need him? And we start to question when we read this. The problem is that Mark is trying to get to this as fast as he can, so he doesn't give the details. So the great thing about the Gospels is we can look at all their Gospel readings, and this same thing happens in Luke. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 and 29. Let's read this together. "When they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of the town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down." So, the question, Jesus, why didn't you do anything more? Why weren't you there for the people that really needed you? It's this. Look at what the people's reaction was. When Jesus says, "I am the Messiah," look at the reaction. They were filled with, and they took him out. They took him out to the edge of town, and there they said, "We don't want to see you ever again, Jesus." Jesus had to do a disappearing act. So when we When we look and we see that Jesus could do no miracles, it is this, is he was driven away from town by his own relatives, by the people closest to him, the people that knew him, the people that they saw him grow up. Those were the people that said, get out of here. We don't want you here. You have no business here. We don't care how many great things you could be doing among us. We don't care. You claim to be God? Uh-uh. We saw you when you were this high, and now you're this high? It doesn't matter. We knew you. That's not God to us. So the problem is, people made God out to be someone they thought he was, instead of looking at what the scriptures say about who Jesus was, how Jesus would grow up in their midst. They totally took it away from their minds and said, there's no way. So let me ask you this today is, why in this country do we want to put God aside, put God away from everything, from our schools, from our government, from even our daily lives, even in our family lives? We want to take God away. Why in the world would we expect God to stick around if we shove him away too much? Why? Because he's amazing and great God. Because he does things. He does things in our lives knowing full well that we'll reject him time and time and time again. And so when we take a look at God's character, God still stuck around. He didn't go to a different country. He didn't take a vacation. He still let people come to him at any age. And so when we take a look at this, when we take a look at what God is doing, and we still ask the questions, God, when are you going to show up the same thing that is said in the Old Testament by a little shepherd spending time out in the stars, really wondering for the rest of his life, when was God going to show up? When was God going to do things? It's this. He knew God was always there, but in his own mind, he would always doubt. In his own mind, he would always try to push God over here so that he could have his own fun. And so we take a look at the scriptures time and time again. It is God sticking by someone so much that he allowed them to come back. He allowed them to come back. What a great God he is. Do you ever see this idea? God's all-powerful, all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. He knows when he goes into an area who's going to reject him, who's not. God doesn't force us to believe in him. He does not force you and me into anything. He simply says, follow me. He simply says, follow me. And look at the character of God that says, I will not force you to live with me forever if that's what you choose. And we want to say, God, that's a terrible thing to say. At the same time, God says, I've asked you to come. I've asked you to follow. I've been by your side each and every day of your life, knocking on that door, putting my Holy Spirit into your mind, in your heart, just saying, follow me. I've been there when you've covered it up. I've been there when your relative was dying of cancer and you wanted to take that faith and you wanted to cover up so much that says, Lord God, I've seen this. This is not how things should be. And you covered it up and it covered up. And God simply says, I am still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. What a marvelous thing. This is the marvelous thing that he's never left. That he's never left pointing us someplace else. That's the marvelous thing. What a great God we have. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, what a great and marvelous thing that, Lord God, what it is to see what you see. To see us turn away from you so much in our thoughts, our minds, our deeds, stuff that we don't even do because we don't want to. And yet what a great God we have in order that you, Lord God, you stick with us each and every day. Lord God, we do not deserve that. And yet you still, as a loving God, you still beckon us. Even in the midst of turmoil, Lord, you God, you beckon us. Lord God, be with us, Lord. Lord God, life doesn't make sense. Life doesn't always work out the way we want it to. Help us trust in you and in the happenings of life, that Lord God, even though that the dirt of life simply wants to cover our faith, Lord God, you help us each and every day to grow closer to you. Lord God, thank you for not pushing us away. Lord God, we're sorry for the so many times that, Lord God, we wanted to take you out to the hill and be done with you. Lord God, we thank you that you've walked among us time and time again. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.